Fall is here and we could all use a stiff breeze. That's right. This episode is brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, confidence can take you far in life, but let Blue Chew take you the rest of the way. BlueChew.com and the code TMS.
Coming up on TMS, I never want to see the Dark Knight Rise.
Horking down the bug.
Panda Express my colon.
Hey, have you ever done a hitchhiker?
Namaste. No tip for you.
The Fruber is also cursed.
Pop in, pop out, no pop in.
Please keep your arms and legs attached inside the vehicles at all times.
Jesus is my airbag.
Millionaire, billionaire, or gajillionaire.
Forced enjoyment of news.
Gummy burritos.
The Brown Brothers will take care of them.
Shucky oyster.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We're shutting off your power, Mr. Power Pirate. You're now under the control of my golden lasso. It will force you to tell us the truth.
I'm coming for you, you son of a bitch.
The Morning Stream. It's Totes Fat.
It is Totes Fat. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is a Tuesday edition of The Morning Stream, TMS, if you will. It's the 28th of September, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and that's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hi, Scott Johnson.
After his whirlwind trip to California, yes.
That's right. That clip you just played of Super Friends,
yeah,
of Wonder Woman, reminded me that I always felt like Wonder Woman's voice was a little too old for her art, for her body.
Oh yeah, totally. I would argue almost every character in that iteration of Super Friends was like that.
Yeah, they get too old voice actors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Flash.
Robin.
Flash sounds like he's 65 years old, and you know, I don't know why they did that. It's weird. I guess Superman maybe sounds the youngest, but everybody
else. Hey, Batman, we're gonna go after Mr. Freeze before I get down to the top 40 countdown.
Yeah. Holy this and holy that. That's the way they ran back then.
Drive the mystery machine to go check out some more spooky artifacts.
Oh, see? That's a good reference. But anyway, we're back. Hey, you probably yesterday went, wait, where was the show? And then you got a show, but then you're like, this isn't the normal show. Like, what is going on? Yeah. What happened?
What's
and the answer is, Brian got home at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. You want
to
explain this? Tell everybody what the hell happened. Yeah.
My buddy Chris Brown, this was his birthday. As a matter of fact, today is his actual birthday, so happy 60th to Mr. Chris Brown.
Yeah, well
done. So this was his brother's trip. They basically said, hey, come out to California. Oh, no, I should do the Bruce Willis, right? Come to California. We'll have a few laughs.
Yeah, yeah. Get into an air duct and try not to get killed by Germans, right?
Exactly. Yep. And they said, hey, we'll pay for your flight. Also, invite Brian. And so he did the invite Brian thing.
Yeah.
They took a little bit longer to arrange his flight. So he said, screw it. I'll just do it. And so we went on to Southwest and said, ooh, what a great deal. $59 each way to San Francisco from Denver, sold. And then he told me the times and the flight numbers, and I booked the same thing. Now, what you don't take into account when you pick the cheapest flight is what time you're actually going to be flying.
Yeah.
Our flight was scheduled to leave San Francisco last night at 8:30 p.m., which is 9:30 Denver time, 9:30 Mountain. It got delayed 30 minutes, so it left at about 9 o'clock local, at 9 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock here.
Yeah.
Then you've got a two-hour flight, and then you've got to figure out how you're going to get home from the airport, because there's no friend I'm going to call upon to say, hey, do you mind picking me up at midnight from the airport?
Yeah, because that's, I mean, friends are friends and they'll do what they can for you, but oh boy, that's late.
Exactly. Yeah. And our plan was always just going to be, you know, we'll just get an Uber and we'll split the cost of an Uber and it'll be about $40.
Yeah.
Well, about $40 if you're traveling during normal times of day and also, you know, Uber and Lyft are both very short on drivers right now, so they can charge whatever the heck they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting off the plane, walking towards the train to baggage claim, we didn't have any bags to claim, but it's, you know, it's what you do.
Sure.
And I'm looking on Uber and it's like, oh my God, it's $80 right now. Well, all right, we'll just, you know, split the cost. $120 to fly to San Francisco and 2/3 of that cost to get a ride back from the airport.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
So, but you know, we're not yet on the train, and the train is running really, really, like they've only got one car in service at DIA because it's so late. They're disinfecting all of the other trains. So I think only one of them was running, one of the six that they have going at any given time. And so we're waiting and waiting. Finally get on the train, get out to where you can pick up an Uber or Lyft. I looked then at the prices. They've shot up another $40, $120 for an Uber, and Lyft is saying, well, you can try us. We'll be about $60, but we don't have a lot of drivers out right now, so you probably won't get a ride. Like, they actually have a thing in their app that says, yeah, right now you probably won't get a ride.
Oh, that sucks.
So,
and how long of a drive are we talking here? We're not talking like...
We're driving about a 40-minute drive.
Okay.
So it's 40 not, miles it's, from it's here still to the airport.
It's a fair distance.
It's a fair distance.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh man, it's $120. I don't want to pay the same amount that it took to go to San Francisco to go to take an Uber. So I'm like, oh, well, all right, here's the deal. There is now light rail that goes from the airport to downtown. And at normal times of the day, I've even taken the light rail all the way back to Arvada, but the Arvada trains, that's not running this late.
Sure.
But I think it'll be cheaper to take the light rail from the airport to downtown, then get an Uber and take the Uber from downtown to Arvada.
Yeah.
Sure enough, we get on the train. I start plugging away at doing the scheduler ride, which is way, way better because you're saying, well, I'm going to need a ride in about 45 minutes. And then that way you're not waiting and watching a bunch of drivers say, oh, I'll take your ride. Cancel. And then they cancel out or that sort of thing. Mm. So I get it scheduled. Sure enough, $25, which is great. So the $10 each for a ticket on the light rail and then $25 total to take us the rest of the way to Arvada. And here's the thing. Uber's got this new deal where when you look at who the driver is and what car they're going to be arriving in, because you want to make sure you get in the right car, there's a little fun fact that driver has put into their profile. A little icebreaker, if you will.
Oh, I'm nervous about what his said now.
Well, his said, I lived with monks in New York City for 3 months. And I know it's meant to be this sort of like, so you lived with monks in New York City for a few months. Tell us about that. I'm sure that's what it is. It's like a way to open a conversation.
Sure.
Neither one of us really cared to even talk. We've been talking all weekend and it was late and we're both tired. We just didn't want to do a conversation. And the driver seemed to kind of respect that. So we got in the car, this nice little Hyundai Elantra. And he had some really cool, like, lounge music, kind of like modern electric piano, but good kind of lounge music. I'm trying to think of, like, something you'd hear in an upscale restaurant in Las Vegas while you're eating food that's really tiny on a big plate.
Oh, okay. I get it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sure, sure.
Like, all right, yeah, this is good. We'll be home, you know, home in about 30 minutes, so this will be great. Well, that song ends, and a new song comes on that I can only describe as probably performed by the Hare Krishnas. I'm not sure. So it's like his playlist all of a sudden jumped to monk music, probably, you know, maybe from his buddies in New York City.
Oh, yeah, from his and time there. So
yeah, and the song is alternating what I'm guessing is Tibetan. And then, so it's one guy who sounds like he's about 94 singing these incoherent verses, followed by a choir of people singing those same incoherent verses.
Oh, wow. And this is, again, give me a time. This is like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30?
This is about 2:30 in the morning. Yeah.
This isn't the right music for 2:30. All right, continue.
No, it is not. And yeah, it's like, oh, dude, I got it. If I fall asleep in the back of this Uber.
Yeah.
And and it just alternates back and forth. And again, we are just leaving downtown on about a 30 to 40 minute drive, because we've got to go to Chris Brown's house first, drop him off, and then go the remaining 15 minutes to my house.
Sure, that makes sense.
Each stanza of this song is that deal, repeating 94-year-old man, or yeah, 94-year-old man, and then the choir singing the same bit of music that he is, but they keep adding new instruments. So, oh, here's a little sitar added to this one, and now we've got the sitar, and now we're even adding some tambourine to this one, and then some kind of that drum that George Harrison tried to put in every Beatles song after 1967.
Yeah, he was into it. He liked that a lot.
He was into that.
Yeah.
This song, Scott, lasted. And basically, as soon as the song started, Chris Brown looks over to me and he pulls down his mask just to mouth the word icebreaker.
Not even saying it, just mouthing it. Even just
mouthing the word icebreaker. And I was like, yeah, it's exactly what this is.
Was it a bit like this? Hold on, I got some. Wait, this isn't good. I want some. I'm looking for throat music. Was it like that?
Oh, wasn't Tuvan throat singing? That would have been great. Because there's a great Nothing Else Matters Tuvan throat version. Metallica, Nothing Else Matters done with Tuvan throat singing.
I would be there for that. That sounds all right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it continued on. We dropped Chris Brown off, continue to my house. That song was at least 23 to 24 minutes long, based on my guesstimate.
Well, he got and like some kind of meditation track that goes for 2 hours and he just plays it kind of thing.
I don't know. But hey, thank you for the ride. No tip for you.
No tip
Namaste.
For you. Yeah, no tip. You need Namaste. it's too bad it wasn't like that.
Oh, that
Mongolian
would have been great.
Stuff,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, do you have a didgeridoo track that you can play after? Maybe
no.
Maybe a didgeridoo duet with bagpipes. Do you have that? Could you play some of that for
no,
me?
No, but now you're making me want to make a new playlist after the show today.
Sure.
Well done on that. Yeah. Well, we missed having you. We weren't. We had no show yesterday.
Yeah, so I showed up at the house at 3:00, got to bed at 3:30. You know, just basically got enough stuff out of my bag to be able to hook up my CPAP and all that sort of thing. But man, what a great weekend. It really was just a fantastic weekend. And the Brown brothers took such good care of us. Sunday during the day, we went to Bolinas, as we talked about on TMSPM, this place called Bolinas, this town called Bolinas, which is right on the coast of the Pacific Ocean. You've got the Pacific Ocean and then this bay to the east. And on the way there, we stopped and picked up bags of oysters, freshly caught oysters, still, you know, sealed up in their shells, took them to their friend DJ's house. And DJ has this view from his deck of the entire Pacific Ocean, San Francisco off in the distance, the mountains between us and like Sausalito, obscuring the Bay Bridge, except for one little tip of the bridge that you can see on the horizon.
And he's out there. And he's a billionaire or something, right?
Yeah, he's not. He got. I mean, he's probably a millionaire. But he got in on this house and he's refurbishing it. The house is maybe three or four rooms. It's teeny tiny.
Yeah.
Two people would be fine in there. Three people might be a little crowded. You know, two people and a parents and a kid.
Yeah.
But one of his neighbors is frickin' Frances McDormand.
Oh wow.
And she lived in a van and pooped in a bucket. So how much space does she need?
She's out in the back. She's right next door in an open field in a van taking a dump.
Exactly. Yeah. That's all she needs. Yeah. But we got some extra smalls and he shucked those, put those on the half shell with some, we threw some cocktail sauce and some horseradish in there and stuff. And then the other ones, still sealed, he put on the grill for a few minutes. They pop open, then you take the top part of the shell off, you put a little maybe barbecue sauce or a mignonette or something like that, put them back on the grill, and it cooks them, and these were freaking amazing.
Oh,
and we just
good.
Sat out on his back deck for hours listening to Alexa play some Gin Blossoms and some Toad the Wet Sprocket, eating oysters, and what a great capper.
That sounds amazing right there. The only time oysters are not good, like,
yeah,
I don't like a raw on the, I don't, I'm not a raw oyster guy. No.
Oh, I like those two. The first ones we had, we split a dozen just raw on the half shell, which I love.
It just feels like you're horking down bugs. I don't like the feeling of it. But the,
it's not for everyone. Definitely not for everyone.
One of the worst single food poisoning events of my entire life in my 20s was after a bunch of oysters.
Really? Oh, yeah. That would do it then. That would be, yeah, that would be the thing that would be like, yep, guess I won't be having these ever again.
Yeah, like cook them all the way through. I'm in. I'm always in. Give me a raw one and I'm like, yeah, probably not anymore.
Okay, let me send. I'll text you a photo really quick.
Oh, yeah.
You can share it with the chat room.
You got pictures of yourself horking down bugs?
And not of me horking them down, but certainly of what the grilled ones look like.
I'm going to see.
You'd probably like the grilled ones because they don't taste, they're not booger consistency. They're more like, you know, when you get like a schipino, you get mussels.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that kind of consistency, or clams, or that sort of
thing. Oh, these look nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, chat, here you go. I'm going to see this. These are beautiful. Hold on. Why won't it open up? They're not opening. Great. Hold on. I'll put it right here. Okay. Check this out. It's kind of going over Brian's face. That's all right. All right.
That's all right. Put it over my face.
Yeah, we'll put it over your face.
Look how yummy those things look.
Shrink them
down. Those are so good.
They look really good. Yeah, a cooked, like, oysters.
Yeah.
Like, proper cooked oysters. That looks really good.
And you can, you know, you and Kim could do this. Just go to the seafood store, get a dozen oysters, and then just cook them like that. Put them on the grill. Wait till they open, pop the half of the shell off, put some barbecue sauce or some sriracha, or even some, I don't know, kimchi or something in there.
Ooh.
And then cook them the rest of the way, and they are fantastic.
Well, I'd eat them now if I could. Do you have anything to say about this this dude in his Batman costume?
That's right, I forgot about that dude. I never want to see the Dark Knight Rise. If that's what he's going to be wearing. We were driving back through San Francisco on our way to the airport. And we saw this guy, and
he's just out using his phone, just walking around,
out using his phone. So this is near the Castro district of San Francisco, which is very, it's probably a good concentration of LGBTQ plus people. It's kind of more of a center for that. And already a town that's very supportive and very, you know, very equal.
Yeah.
In its treatment of
LGBTQ. Just to head off the chat, that is not Leo Laporte, guys. That is not.
No, by the beard, it's clearly Justin Robert Young.
Yeah, it's clearly Jerry coming back to his stomping grounds for a weekend or something.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So there was some festival that was going on, and I imagine he was dressed like that because of that. Although we didn't see anybody else in any sort of weird get-ups or costumes or anything like that. But it was, there it is. Yeah, Folsom Street Fair is CS Palm. That's exactly what it was, Folsom Street Fair.
Was this after the thing had ended, and he was just a...
Yes, and he was just walking home, checking the Instagram, checking his gram messages.
Yeah. He was the dregs at the bottom of the festival teacup.
That's right.
Kind of hanging around. That's great.
I was starting to chafe. I was starting to chafe. So I had to get Alfred to come pick me up.
Well, awesome. That guy looked great when you sent me that. Well, actually, he sent me this picture. It's a much bigger photo, and he's
yes,
like way
that's
off
what I wanted you
thing.
To do. This is like I sent you a large picture because I'm not going to zoom in. I want you to be like, oh, what's this in the middle?
I have a tendency to do that anyway. Someone will send me a thing, and I'll notice something that I'm not even supposed to see. And
you look in the background for stuff. And
yeah,
then
you send
it back to them with a picture of what was in their picture that they might not have realized.
Exactly. And in this case, that was obviously who I was supposed to see. But still, it's a thing I enjoy. I
checked that oysters picture to make sure there was nothing on the table that you'd focus in on and zoom in.
Oh, yeah. You got to see, that's the thing. I could find like an address or somebody's,
exactly.
Somebody's little weed bowl or whatever.
The credit card number sitting on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want that. So I have a, once in a while, life gives you a good ending. All right. A happy ending. And I'm going to tell you about one I had real quick here. I just think this was a heartening moment for me. So I thought I would share it with TMS because it's also a show this person listens to, but some time ago, I don't know, it's been maybe a week, a couple weeks maybe, I was getting all snarky in a post or something on, I can't remember what the post even was, but anyway, I'd put it on Reddit as well as Twitter and other places, and somebody on Reddit like reacted really, really angrily and was like, I see you're still the worst, and you're when I met you back in 2015, you were really rude and all this stuff. So it was just like this altercation that I didn't expect, and I was like, whoa, what is this? And there was like a half second where I was like, well, I'm just going to shut this down and never talk to this person because this is dumb, and why are they trolling me or whatever? And I almost did that, almost just kicked him off the thread, and it was our Reddit page, so I can moderate all that if I want. And instead, I decided to reach out with a PM, a private message, and just say, did you really have a bad experience with me in 2015? Because I don't remember any of this. Like, no memory of this. So I did that. And he explained what it was. And it was, well, we were at BlizzCon, and we'd gotten to the, it's a long story, but we'd gotten to the meetup late because of all the stuff that was going on. Because I always am. It's always busy for me there. And
pulled in every direction at BlizzCon. Yeah, when I'm there with you, it's impossible to really get any time.
It's hard to get anywhere or have any time or stop and smell the roses. It's just kind of a hard thing. So anyway, that was part of it, but it was also just, I was a little flustered. The next morning was all this stuff, and I always got a million things planned. So anyway, it was a bunch of that, and then some of the shows had rubbed him wrong and some other stuff. Anyway, so he's just kind of mad and sort of had put the show and us behind it. And so anyway, we had this big, long conversation, and I kept going back and forth trying to understand his point of view. And I think he made some decent points. And I was able to explain myself in terms of, where my head was at or where my head's at now or, all these sorts of things. And by the end of it, this guy's awesome. He's a really nice guy. He's back listening to the show. He might be hearing this today and going, oh, crap, I shouldn't. I hope I'm not out of turn talking about that interaction. But I just wanted to put it out there that occasionally online altercation slash, moments of grumpiness can find resolution if you really want to find it. And and both parties kind of have to be reasonable beings.
Right, exactly. Willing to say, listen, as opposed to immediately say, you're crazy. I'm not even going to listen to a word you say.
Yeah, that's basically exactly right. And so if that happened here, and I was just really, it was really cool to go through that. And he and I have chatted since. He seems like a totally cool dude I could totally hang around with, like totally nice guy. And just a string of misunderstanding, the sort of time we were in, like just a lot of factors there. And it was a huge relief to just get that one of these, smoothed. So
good.
I wanted to say to, I don't know how you say this username though. Shashabe. Was that how you'd say it?
That's how I would say it. Shashabe.
Shashabe.
Because SCH also could be Skuskabe.
Skuskabe. I'm sure I'm getting it wrong, but
yeah.
Anyway, if you're out there and you're listening, just thanks for that. It was a heartening interaction, and it wouldn't have been possible if he hadn't been open-minded to it. And I tried to be as well. And I think there's just a lesson in there. So,
well done.
Yeah. Sometimes you ever see that video of that, those two dogs that want to kill each other, and all that's between them is a little teeny fence, and they're going, hey, barking, and their teeth are bared. And then they slowly pull the fence back. And then the dogs get all normal and just sit there and look at each other.
Really? I haven't seen that.
They call it
funny.
It's got a term, barrier something, barrier aggression. And basically the internet is a form of barrier aggression, or it can be.
So yeah, that's what it is. Barrier aggression. So the idea
barrier in aggression. The, interesting.
In dogs and maybe other animals, I don't know, and I guess in people, if there's think of road rage. You're separated by cars, and that's it, right? There's a car over here. He cut you off. Now you're flaming mad, and you just assume that guy fall off a cliff and die. You don't know him. You don't know a thing about him, but because you have these barriers, your aggression can just go off. And that's like that with those dogs. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a version of that online for people. And yeah, yeah. He and oh, I got over right
there. Captain Kipper just put it.
Oh yeah. That video is great. I should show this.
Yeah. It's just the fact that like, oh, and then, once they get to this opening,
yeah,
they're like all chummy. Although their tails are wagging. I guess that's not really always a,
not always a
like, oh, they're just being friendly. You'll still get your.
And this is the different one that I'd saw. The one I saw was a tiny little wooden gate and they slid it open. They would stop barking. They would shut it. They'd start barking again. They'd open it up. Like they could do it over and over.
This is more like the funny aspect of these dogs that are like really wanting to go at it don't realize that 3 feet to their right, there's an opening that they could get to each other if they wanted to. Well,
dogs are kind of stupid, as it turns out.
Yeah. But,
Anyway, so thanks Shashabe for being a source of, I don't know, renewed
faith in humanity. Hope, right? That maybe this could be a... Maybe the world could do this. Maybe both sides can finally just say, hey, you know, I didn't agree with you on your whole choice for a stupid president 4 years ago or your stance on keeping the world from dying. But you do like this thing that I like, too. So I guess we have some similarities after all.
Yeah, we're both Raiders fans or whatever it is. Right,
exactly.
Did you lose any money in football this week? Do you have any?
Yes, I lost a lot of money that I never got to bet because when I got to San Francisco and started trying to place my bets, my app reminded me, oh, betting's not legal in California, and we can tell you're in California. So sorry. Oh. Even though your account is Colorado, you can't place bets in.
I didn't know that about California. I thought you could there.
No, they have some gambling, but they don't allow sports betting. And it was just such a bummer because I looked back at all the bets I would have made, and I'm sure I would have done better. Like I'm sure I would have made more than I would have lost. And then last night I was just too exhausted to get some money in on the Cowboys game, but I would have won that one too because I would have picked Cowboys for the over.
Yeah. Did Green Bay end up winning? Whatever.
They did. Yeah. Oh, and what an exciting finish to that game.
I missed it.
I keep hearing
all the primetime games so far this year have been insane, like really good games, which is unusual for this early in the season.
Your first
week or two of games are usually not this exciting, and it bums me out because I haven't watched any of it, but I keep hearing it's like this is the time to be watching some football.
Oh, it totally is. It's a good season this year. They've got a lot of good characters, and they've really they've got some new writers, so the action's a lot better.
Yeah. It's really believable this year.
It's really believable. Yeah. They've
Excellent. All right. We are we haven't been able to do this for a while, so we're going to do some news, and you're going to enjoy it at home, whether you like it or not. It's time for the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by raw oysters on the half shell. If you think that they're really good, it's not.
Brian improvised all that, by the way. Well done.
I did. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. And you could tell by the poor delivery.
I think it was all right. Because
I went plural to singular because they're not would not have had the joke of it's not.
Well,
right?
Good point. Yeah.
But if you think it's tasty, it's not.
Yeah, very well done.
That's what I should have said.
It was very good. All right, check this out. The world's fastest accelerated roller coaster had to close.
Uh-huh.
Now, when you say accelerated, it's like the ones that are, you know, they really push the speed.
Right, as opposed to just letting gravity pull you through the ride. They've got built-in acceleration, maglev or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they close it because they have been breaking riders' bones. Rider is not one guy. It's a multitude of people.
Oh, geez. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't recommend seeing it if I were to make a recommendation.
I've seen this sort of in person from a distance.
Oh, I thought you meant you saw a video of people breaking their legs. I would recommend not doing that.
No, I've not seen that. But when we were in Tokyo, we were on our way to Mount Fuji on a tour bus thing. And we went right by this, and I took a picture of it. It's like, oh, my God, that ride. I don't know if I could do it.
I can't do it.
And now I won't.
Yeah, I can't do it. Did you see the esports kid that was celebrating so hard on stage that he threw his completely dislocated his shoulder, just fist pumping?
No.
Yeah. So he gets up. So he's playing, right? Whatever it was super intense. I don't even know what the game was. He wins. Yeah. He's on some sort of stage. He kicks his chair back, flies up, just jumping in the air, reaching for the sky with his fist. He's so excited that he won, and he's literally just swing punching into the air. And on like the third or fourth swing punch, you see his entire shoulder just pop out, just and flop down to the floor. It was a gnarly moment. Ooh.
Oh, did Danny Glover have to kind of push him against the top of a car to get him to relocate it?
Yeah, and then he said,
I'm too old for this shit.
He's pop it in. Not pop it in. Pop it in. Pop it
up. Pop in. Pop,
pop
out.
In. Pop out.
Pop in.
Pop in. Anyway, let the lesson be, don't play esports. No, that's not the lesson. I don't know what it is. Maybe calm down is what the lesson is. Anyway, known as the world's most terrifying amusement park ride, or at least one of them, the Do-Do-Donpa roller coaster. Do-Do-Donpa. I'm sure that's right.
Do-Do-Donpa, yeah. Do-Do-Donpa. Do-Do-Donpa.
Something like that. This is in Japan's Fuji-Q Highland, located near the very base of Mount Fuji, has been shut down by the region's prefecture government. Closure comes after several passengers sustained fractured bones while on the ride, although the exact cause of the injuries has officials a little bit stumped. The coaster known for its super death speeds. It's not known for super death. That's a... is the fastest accelerated roller coaster in the world, going from 0 to 112 miles per hour in 1.5 seconds. Jeez!
Wow!
Do you have to you have to have a health check before you get on that thing or what? That's crazy.
So this is, oh my God, look how fast this thing is going. So the one I put in chat is the wrong one. That's the one that's just got this insane looking drop.
Okay.
This one is flying. I mean, I'm picturing Roger Moore sitting in the front seat with his face rippling as he's riding it.
Oh, this is one of those. All right.
Yeah. It's less about the one, and you see it like at about 30 seconds in, you can see the other one to the right of it is the one I was thinking you were talking about.
All right. Copy. I got to see the video you posted. Let's just take a look here and see what we got.
Yeah.
This is fun for listeners at home. Can't see it.
Hear our reactions to it, which is just as important.
Yeah. It's a reaction audio podcast that we do here. Okay. So this thing goes up. First, here's the gnarly drop right here. Oh, geez.
Are you looking? You're not looking at the... No, you're looking at the one I posted, which is the wrong one.
Oh, that's the wrong one?
Yeah. That's the one with the insane drop, which, saw it.
Is it the pops and recline one that he put?
It's the pops and recline one, yep. All and right. You can see right from the get-go that this thing is...
Oh, yeah, it's like a bullet train. Oh, geez.
It's a bullet train, yeah.
Okay, and then this... Ooh. Ooh, you're going to lose an arm. You put an arm out, you lose an arm. All right. Well, so there. Oh, there's Fuji. That's a pretty shot. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's in a gorgeous location.
Yeah, that's really cool. I would go there if I was near Mount Fuji. No, I wouldn't. I hate rides like this. What am I saying? I'm not into it. Well, anyway, they don't know what's going on. They don't know why, but the coaster, known for its super death speeds, is the fastest accelerating coaster in the world. It goes from 0 to 1, like I mentioned, 112 miles per hour in 1.5 seconds. The air-launched ride, so it's some sort of air-compressed,
interesting,
how you can get launched, has the world's largest loop as well, so it's got the record for that. Injuries prompted the ride suspension. These injuries happened between December of 2020 and August of 2021, although the precise number of people has not been said. Four people have broken bones. Somebody else said there's at least six victims, but they don't know how they're breaking them. So they still don't know.
It's just got to be your own weight pressed against that seat.
Yeah.
is just snapping your bones in your body when you're...
Yeah, it's got to be, right? What else would it be?
Yeah.
It looks like it would kill you if you did if you did something wrong or you sat wrong or
anything. Yeah, four of them said they broke their neck or back. Oh, my God. Yep, not interested.
Yep, not taking that ride. Well, I guess it's offline, so it doesn't matter. Maybe they'll slow it down.
Yeah, yeah. Slow it down!
Here's a fun one. Men. This is a story about men.
Men. Okay.
Men. Men take a vehicle with free car sign. Somebody just put it, like you do with a couch, you know, put a little sign on it.
Yep, put it on the side of the road with the word free on it. Yep.
In Britain, and Zoe can confirm this, don't they call that tipping? I think that's called tipping.
Oh, really?
In the British Isles, yeah. You do like mattress tipping and things like that. I don't know why it's called tipping.
Does it
mean you tip something up against something, maybe, or I don't know why.
If they do it with livestock, is it cow tipping?
I don't think so. As far as I know, I don't see Zoe even here, so maybe we can't get confirmation, but there's something with the term tipping.
Yeah, I never heard that. Haven't heard that phrase before.
Anyway, Zoe says yes, something like that. It's because you never... She's never left a mattress out for the world to take care of. She takes responsibility for her garbage. Don't you, Zoe?
Yes. See, there you go.
Yep. That's right, damn it. Where was I? Oh, yeah. These guys took a car that had a free car sign on it and then later found a body in the trunk. A human body.
Oh, my God. What a great way to dispose of a body. Just let somebody take it and drive it away.
Yeah. If you were struggling for ideas on how to get rid of that body, I got an idea for you.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
It's not bad. According to Copiah County Sheriff Brian Swilly, I love that name, and it makes me want to do a stereotype, but I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. A body was found outside the vehicle in Copiah County. I don't know where that is.
Inside the vehicle. Copiah. Yeah, I don't know. Copiah County. Let's see.
It's also, there's Jackson's referred to, but there's a million Jacksons.
There's a million Jacksons.
Yeah, I don't know. WLBT.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, let's see what that is.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Jackson, Mississippi. Yep.
I spent time in Jackson, Mississippi, so I should know this.
Really?
Yeah, especially that name, Sheriff Swilly. I knew some Swillies down there.
Did you go there to mess around?
I went down to mess around. Wait, this is a song, right?
I'm going to Jackson. Mess around. Yes, I'm going to Jackson. Look out, Jackson Town.
I got chased by Crips in Jackson, Mississippi.
Did you really?
Yeah. Whole long story. I'll tell a different day, but I got...
Were you dancing on a pony keg?
No. No, sir, I was not. Let's see. He was the body identified as this dude Anthony McCrillis. It's been there for several days. He was naked in the car. They don't know why. They identified through his tattoos and confirmed to his immediate family to get his identity. Say the victim's vehicle. Oh, it was his vehicle. He was seen in Jackson in the last few days.
So did he put the sign on the car before he got into the trunk and died, or?
I guess they don't. I mean, honestly, I don't think they know yet. It's possible. Well, I mean, one would assume foul play, right?
I'm kidding. Yeah. They definitely assume... foul play. He's not saying, well, I think I'm pretty much, done. I'm going to go and put a sign on my car and then just get in the trunk, take off all my clothes and.
Can't really afford a coffin and all the normal amenities.
Yes. I've always wanted to see the countryside.
Yeah, why not? And then
let's
not have this car go to waste. Let's put a free car sign on it so that someone else can benefit after I'm gone. And, exactly. Yeah, I'm sure that was exactly it.
Damn, that's rough to...
imagine that, dude. Like, if there was a car on the side of the road that had a free car sign on it, I think I'd call the cops.
Yeah, I think I would assume, as weird as it is, before even seeing this article, I think I would assume that there was a body in the trunk.
Yeah. Or at least some kind of dastardly something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm
going to check those pull-out couches from now on, too, that I find on the side of the road, just to make sure there's not a hooker stuffed in them.
Oh, my gosh. I would never do that either, I guess.
No, no.
Now that I think about it, there's very little I would pick up off the side of the road.
Yeah, no.
You'd have to be... Now, all right, if there was like a little... If there was like an 8-year-old kid lost and waving you down because they can't find their parents,
Yeah.
Something like that. I might be tempted.
Well, of course you would. Yes, exactly.
I'd be tempted to pick him up and go and see if I can help. But if it was if there's some dude have you ever done a hitchhiker? Have you ever picked one up?
I've never done a hitchhiker, no, Scott. but I've seen my share of Brazzers videos.
No, like, have you ever stopped to pick up some guy with his thumb in the air?
No.
Okay. Nope. I feel like that's a thing people did back in the day.
Right, exactly. And my buddy, when I was a teenager, I had a buddy named Donnie, and he was a hitchhiker. He'd hitchhike regularly. And once when I was with him, we hitchhiked. It was the only time I've ever been on either side of the hitchhiking transaction.
Gotcha. Uneventful? You just got to where you
wanted
to go?
It was uneventful, yeah. It was like, hey, where you guys headed? And we got in the car and took us. I can only take you as far as Longmont. That's okay. That's where we're going. Okay.
It's like free Uber or Fruber, as I like to call it.
Right, Fruber. Yes. Yeah,
back in the day. Brian was onto something. You should have patented it and made it a huge company.
I could have. Oh, man, if only.
Iber. You would have called it Iber. Well, anyway. So that guy's dead and they don't know what's going on. So there's that story. It's a fun one.
Yeah.
Park that in your brain. Let it live there for rent free. Here's a fun one about another driver. This is a Tesla driver. Okay. You know, the Teslas, they've got the fancy battery operated electric cars.
That's right. My next car will probably be a Tesla. Probably. It'll definitely be an electric car of some sort.
Same.
Maybe Tesla, maybe that new Volkswagen or the Kia.
Yeah, the new Volkswagen actually has me super peaked. It looks cool.
Great. Yeah. It really does.
It's not out though, right? It's next year it's out or something?
That's right. Yep.
I expect that to sell like crazy and it'll be impossible to get one, but...
Yeah.
I don't want to buy another gas car whenever it comes around to, we gotta turn in the thing or buy whatever. I don't want to do gas again.
Oh, it is out. It's the TVZ gun firms. It is the ID.4.
Oh, is it out?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the electric car. I know they've got some hybrid stuff going on too. And that van does look cool. That VW van redo thing looks real
cool. I don't want the van. I don't want a truck. I want a core.
Yeah.
I want to get an electric core.
So the ID4, Independence Day.
Yeah, exactly.
1994. Yeah.
Every time you start it up, it gives you a Bill Pullman speech. It's great.
Yeah, the horn goes, welcome to Earth when you push it.
That's right. The interface is all done with HyperCard, which is interesting.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
And there's a big button in the middle that says release virus with a skull and crossbones over it.
Do you have to reinstall OS 7 or whatever the hell it was called at the time, I think?
Yeah, I think it was even pre OS 7. I don't know.
I don't know what it would have been in 94.
System 7. Oh, yeah. Good old System 7.
System 7. Yep. Good times. Yeah. Only Jeff Goldblum could pull that off. but anyway, so this Tesla driver was arrested for allegedly using autopilot while he was drunk and unconscious. It's not a woman, by the way, not a man. Oh, did I say a woman?
Woman. No, you said a man, but it is a woman.
I always assume these things are dudes. It's weird.
Yeah, because all the videos you see of people misusing their Tesla autopilot are dudes. This is the first one I've heard of that's a woman.
I don't know why. My assumption is always that whoever's doing dirt in a story, it's almost always a dude. And quite often it's not, but I always assume
it's more exactly. More often it's men doing dumb stuff in these stories than
I don't think it's unusual for me to assume that. Or well, my whole life it's always been dudes doing the worst stuff. So I understand it's everybody. So keep your emails to yourselves if you're going to... I don't want you going off on this.
Sorry. I mean, when we're hearing about somebody put a dead body in the trunk of their own car, you're not thinking, man, that had to be a woman doing that.
Yeah, had to be a lady.
automatically assume it's got to be a dude.
And while I agree that until you don't know, if you're going to jump to conclusions, I'll put some money down. It's probably a dude to put the person in the
exactly.
trunk.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, I've seen Monster. I know some crazy ladies exist. I get it. But it's usually not them.
That's right.
Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. A California woman.
Woman.
Suspected of driving under the influence was taken into custody after apparently using her Tesla in self-driving autopilot mode. The Tesla hit a roadside wall on the freeway shortly after 11 p.m. Thursday and kept going. This alerted the California Highway Patrol. The driver was unconscious. Wait, now how did this alert? Did the car alert them?
I'll bet the the police were just behind her and saw, oh, she just hit the wall, but she's still going. Okay, maybe she doesn't realize she hit the wall. And
I mean, it seems like those cars are certainly capable of announcing their status, you know, in some sort of way. But I don't know if they do that or not. Anyway, let's see here. Troopers tried to pull the Tesla over, but the only way they could stop the pursuit was to perform a pit maneuver. The self-driving car then stopped itself automatically. The driver is identified as 31-year-old Carola, whatever her last name is.
Villanueva.
And was arrested on suspicion of DUI. Yeah, you're not supposed to use that setting or that mode for just...
Right, it's supposed to assist you, not replace you. Right. You can't say, car, take me to Vegas. I'll be taking a nap.
I did last trip to Vegas see a Tesla owner in autopilot mode sleeping. I did see that.
Did you really?
Yeah. Now he had a passenger, and I don't know if that was, I don't know if that's enough or is okay. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I mean, yeah. Is if he has to wake you up to stop, that's probably going to be too late. Oh, hey, Bill, wake up. We're going to hit. Yeah, we're dead.
Yeah, probably. Oh, well, I mean, he could reach over and grab, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel.
Jesus in the passenger seat, take the wheel.
Yeah, why not? I was driving behind somebody the other day. I put it on Twitter, in fact. There was somebody had a sticker on their car that said, Jesus is my airbag. And I said, well, you can't hardly take the wheel if you're in the wheel. Come on now.
Right. That's really funny. Alex says, remember when we were in Vegas, Coverville, and we almost got in one of those autopilot lifts? And I do, Alex. And then Tina and I later did get in one of those, and it was like being tested. It's funny because they gave us this whole demonstration. I think they were trying to sell Teslas. And so we got in and they're doing this whole demonstration of, now if you look on this screen, you can see what the Tesla is recognizing with the street lights and other cars, and it's recognizing the red lights and the brake lights on the other cars and adjusting. And it was really cool. It looked like Terminator HUD is what it looked like. It was cool.
I'm all for automated everything. I just think we're far enough away from it that there's still some gnarly stories that will come out of it before we're there. You know what
sure,
I mean?
But if you heard as much about regular car accidents as you do Tesla autopilot accidents, it would be like 90 to 10 kind of thing. It'd be, you know, 9 out of 10 are these just horrible regular, I mean, it'd even be more than that, probably 99 to 1. You know, humans are dumb, and we'll make mistakes on the road. We're close. We're getting there with autopilot. Not enough for me to fully trust it, but
they're still probably better than me. You know, like I'm a good driver. Yes. I'm a good Rain Man over here. I'm a good driver, but it's, how do I put this? Like I have that thing where if I'm going a long distance and I know that I'm going a long distance, like if I know something's 45 minutes away. No problem. I'm there. I drive just fine. Sure. But if I know I'm going to Vegas or anywhere like 5 hours away and I go, that's 5 hours. I suddenly at about 20 to 30 minutes in feel like I'm going to fall asleep at the wheel. It's so
bad.
Oh
my God. It's really, so it's just bad.
My whole life.
Some mental thing of like, this is going to be a long ride.
Yeah. Since I got my license, this has been a thing with me. At that time I went to California and shut my eyes for a second, opened them up, and the overpass that was in front of me is now a mile behind me.
Like, right.
No one autopilot. I guess Jesus did take the wheel that day. I don't know.
So when you go long distances, when you like make long drives to St. George or Vegas or whatever, it's always Kim driving, right?
Almost always, because she thinks I'm going to fall asleep. And so she doesn't
let me. I wonder where she got that idea.
Yeah. And she won't let me. Like a 12-hour trip to California, I'll be like, honey, you've been driving for 5-6 hours. Let me drive. No, you'll fall asleep. I'm like, honey, you're going to fall asleep. She doesn't like the idea that I could even come close to like even shutting my eyes for more than a blink, you know? So she can't stand it. Yeah. And it's not like narcolepsy, or is that the thing? Narcolepsy?
Narcolepsy, yep.
It's not like that. I don't actually fall asleep or anything. I just get so tired and I have
to pull over. You get paranoid about not falling asleep, and that almost stresses you to the point where you might nod off, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It like expends extra energy I don't need to be expending. And then even if I take a bunch, you know, if I drink a bunch of caffeine or take Nodos, you know, caffeine boosters or any of that, doesn't make any difference. I still get droopy eyed and Tired. I don't know why. I'd be a terrible, like, long-distance driving companion. Nobody wants to be with me.
Next time Kim's driving, you guys are going a long distance, make sure just to bring your Tibetan monk tambourine playlist and see how she does with 25-minute tambourine songs.
Tara pops up her client says, pull your nose hairs out real fast. That's not a bad idea.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Give yourselves one of those wax nostril things, but you only do two of those. You gotta spread it out, man. You know.
Yeah. The same buddy actually that did the hitchhiking said, no, if you start getting tired, roll down the window and crank your music as loud as you can get. It's like, well, maybe just pull over and take a little cat nap. Maybe that's better than like, man, that car sure slammed into the wall hard. Yeah, but boy, had his window open and sure was blasting the Metallica.
Sure. Why not? Master Puppets was the last thing he heard.
Master!
All right. Hey, one more story here. A Utah town. Oh, you know what that means. Hold on. It's a Utah connection. Hang on.
Utah connection!
All right, it's a Utah connection. Check this out. A Utah ghost town reappeared as a result of our drought. We're having, kind of a historic drought throughout the entire West and Southwest, and Utah did not get spared from this. So this is pretty crazy. As Utah's reservoir levels have dropped this year, there have been some interesting discoveries in areas that have been covered by water for a really long time. Glen Canyon has reappeared as a result of declining Lake Powell levels in southern Utah. That's crazy to me, because when I was a kid, the water was always rising, first of all. It was always on the up pattern, not the low. It was never going low. And there were places that we could walk around when I was a kid that if you went there 10 years ago, there's 100 feet of water on top of you. Mm-hmm. Now it's back to lower than when I was a kid.
Oh, jeez.
Crazy. Anyway, where was I? Lake Palisade, Utah. Northern Utah, several old cars were discovered at the bottom of Hiram Reservoir. That's pretty cool. But how about this? They found a town, Rockport Reservoir, a place we used to go skiing all the time when I was younger, teenage years. Party up there. Mm-hmm. It was great. This summer, as its water levels have now fallen to just a quarter of its total capacity, as the reservoir, which was constructed in the 1950s, has dropped in water volume, pieces of an old town that once existed between Park City and Colville is visible again. It was really interesting to stand and overlook the reservoir and see faint traces of foundations of old homes and roads below, says Devin Dewey. Well,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it actually is cool, except I hate why it's happening, but
yeah,
it's
cool. Maybe if climate control gets or climate change gets a little more out of control, we'll finally find the lost city of Atlantis.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it. The climate change, get on it. look at that. Isn't that rad, though? Old foundations. I love stuff like this.
That is really cool.
I kind of want to go out there and see it. It's only about an hour.
Yeah.
I might do that. I might take the boy and we'll just go check it out. All right. Well, that's your news. That's all the news that was fit to use.
Hey, that rhymes.
It is. We got a new
rhymes
name for
the better
segment.
Than what the New York Times has been using.
There
so
you
that's
go.
Good.
Well, I'm no Will Shorts, but I can make it happen when I need to. Hey, look at this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here. He will try to help us make sense of the government shutdown that's pending. It's been quite the freak out this week. So we'll find out what that's about. Teach ourselves a little something about economic, political machinations here in the United States. And then after that, well, we saved our Monday morning mashup for Tuesday. So that'll be good. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's throw it to Brian, who brought a song with him for a break.
Yeah, let's go to these guys, a band called Mutant Thoughts. They've got a brand new single they've just released called Summer Storm. Comes out this Friday officially, but I got an extra early copy of it, and I'm really happy to play it. These guys remind me a lot of Radiohead, who also just released something brand new, which is crazy, something new from Radiohead. Yeah. But this is a little bit more melodic, a little bit more, has a little bit more of a hook to it. They are from Bristol. Bristol alt-rock trio Mutant Thoughts with their song right here called Summer Storm.
Sky. disaster.
Guys, what's going on? You know, it's fall. Do you feel it? We could all use a stiff breeze. This episode's brought to you by Blue Chew. Guys, listen, confidence can take you pretty far in life. It can help you in the bedroom as well, especially when it comes to stepping up to the plate. Well, that's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. And you can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. This process is pretty simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. No doctor visits. No sitting around in that office waiting for anybody. No awkward conversations. And no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made right here in the USA and prepared and shipped directly to your door as well in a very discreet package. So, first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? That's right. Blue Chew can help you in, the ways you need it to help you. So, if you could benefit from that, a little bit of extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code TMS, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information as well. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring today's episode.
As soon as the Galactic Police arrive, you'll be taken to the maximum security prison planet.
Looks like you're plumb chained to your work, Marshal.
This is the Morning Stream, a rat turd.
Always gets me for some reason. All right, that song again was...
That song was Summer Storm, performed by the band Mutant Thoughts.
Not like Summer Storm makes me feel fine.
No, it's definitely not like that.
Not like that? Okay.
Not like that. They just heard it. The people just heard it, Scott.
Oh, that's right. They heard it. I also, of course, we just heard the song just now.
Yeah, we just heard it.
Nobody didn't not hear it. All right, Justin Robert Young entering the fray... And a glorious light shines about him, and here it is.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young joining us from Austin, Texas, where my wife is right now. Right now. I don't know if you
In Austin or just in Texas?
She's in Austin right now, today.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you might say
she's
to yourself,
That's what
I told her. I said, look. You know, Justin's down there. Schwood's down there. Bonnie'd probably love to see you. Like, you know, you should go. And she said, here's the problem. As soon as they get there, because they drove for 2 days.
Yeah.
In my niece's car, taking her down there for her big move. And then she's there to get her all settled, all her stuff figured out, moved in, got to go buy a bunch of crap and all that. And then she has to, and then she's straight to the airport. She's got like no time while she's in Austin. So we'll rectify that next time we're down there. But anyway, I don't know if you can feel her presence, but if she could, she'd make you all jambalaya tonight.
I can't. You feel the radiating warmth.
Yeah, you can feel it. That's what happens when she enters your state.
I can mostly hear just like the rumble of your stomach because you've probably been doing nothing but eating gummy bears.
Not quite, but not far from the truth. We have not been doing so great. Listen, I went so far as eight. And some people are going to... People like Panda Express. I don't like Panda Express, and yet I still did it because it was up the road and cheap. And I thought, sure, I'll do that. And then I spent, I don't know, an hour on the toilet the next day. Freaking F, that place is gross. I'm never eating there again.
I like Panda Express. I mean, it really depends maybe on the Panda Express you go to, whether or not they're...
Amazing sense. Because initially it sounded like you wanted credit for eating Panda Express. And then you wanted sympathy because you pooped a lot.
It made me feel gross.
We saw all 12 stages of grief in one moment.
It was just
an amazing thing. But also the confusion of that statement really just highlights the fact that Kim regulates your diet. I think that it's definitely, she needs to hurry back. I'm glad she's not seeing anybody here because she needs to get back ASAP.
Yeah, she needs to. We're all going to die. I mean, Carter's here with me. She's doing better than me. She made us some nice homemade stuff yesterday, but... Man, I gotta do better today. Although I really want a pizza today, so let's see how that goes. Anyway, hey, it's good to have you here. Boy, howdy, Justin. There's a lot of confusion among the populace about how government works. And in particular, this week, there's all this like, they're shutting down the government. They're not shutting it down. They're pushing through some kind of bill. They won't let it happen. Oh, no, we're shutting it down again. And I think most people are just like, what? Okay, let me know when it's over or how it affects me. And,
sure.
I don't know. Maybe you can give us a little, I don't know, closer look at what's actually happening so that we're not confused.
Scott, I'd love to.
Great.
So effectively, there's three different things that are happening at the exact same time. Number one is really the meat of Biden's agenda, his domestic agenda. And that is what used to be called hard and soft infrastructure. Hard infrastructure, roads, tunnels, bridges, internet. Soft infrastructure, a gigantic, really the most significant bill that has been put forth in terms of social safety net in America, reminiscent scope-wise of Great Society and the New Deal. This includes climate change, expansion of Medicare. It did include a pathway to citizenship, but like pretty much if you are on the red side of the ledger, everything you've heard complained about on Fox News. If you're on the blue side of the ledger, everything that you've heard demanded on MSNBC.
Gotcha.
That's what the second bill is, the soft infrastructure bill is.
Right.
Now, those have gone by different names. And so now you might hear those more referred to if you are mixing it up in political Twitter as the BIB or the BIF, that is hard infrastructure, and then BBB is soft infrastructure, that's Build Back Better. So without getting too far into the weeds, the Republicans who voted to advance the BIB, the hard infrastructure bill, out of the Senate, that was a bipartisan thing that actually included votes from both the Senate minority and Senate majority leader Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer. So it was about as bipartisan as things get in the year of our Lord 2021 into the House. The Democrats, including leadership in Nancy Pelosi, didn't want to vote for it because they believed that if the moderates voted for that bill and got that to Biden's desk, then it would now be unlinked from the BBB bill, which is the big wish list that Democrats and Democratic voters have really wanted for many, many years. And so everything needed to be kept together. Everything needed to be linked.
Mm. And that big one's what? That's the 3. Whatever. I almost said terabyte. Trillion.
Now it's 3.5 trillion. It likely will shrink below that because there are Democratic senators in the Senate, obviously, that do not want it to be that big and want it to be smaller. So we'll get to them in a second, but just know for right now that's stalled. And now the House has to make a decision. Do they vote on the hard infrastructure bill, which again is bipartisan, or do they continue to wait for this other bill from the Senate that's going to have to be passed on party lines? The problem is that the party can't line up and decide exactly what they want out of the second bill.
Right.
And what Nancy Pelosi decided on Monday, yesterday, was that they were officially doing something they had not done up until this point, which is decoupling the two. So now on Thursday, there will be a vote on the BIB, or hard infrastructure, mm-hmm. and then they're just going to let the chips fall where they may with this other larger bill as they go forward. The question now becomes, do the progressives, who have said consistently that they will not vote for the hard infrastructure bill until the Build Back Better bill comes to the House, will they now relent? Will they vote for it? Or will they go against party leadership and the presidency and say, no, 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 the plan was the plan was the plan. Mm. We want it all. We want it now.
Okay, so in your predictive, with your predictive skills that you've built and polished over the years, how do you think this ends up? Does both things happen? Does only one happen? Do we avert any kind of, I guess the decoupling already averted the shutdown part, right?
No. Okay. Oh, by the way, that's just one thing that's happening. Okay. Totally separate is the fact that the government will shut down on Thursday if it doesn't get funded. And totally separate from that is our debt ceiling, which the Treasury Secretary just said today that America will officially be a signal to the world that politics will indeed get in the way with us paying our bills and will trigger a global financial crisis if we do not raise the debt ceiling by October 18th. Either of those two things have anything to do with what I'm talking about.
Oh,
that
man.
Is why it is congressional apocalypse, because we have three different stories that in their own right would likely be the number one political story, but they are all happening at the exact same time.
Did nobody see them all coming at once, or did everybody know we were going to have this crossroads and it was all going to be, you know, everything bad happens in threes sort of thing?
From my perspective, there were a lot of people who were loudly yelling their position for months. And then there were a lot of people in diametrically opposed positions, be they within their own party or across the aisle, that were saying, nah, you're lying. And now we're here.
Wow.
So like the Republicans have been saying, you've got to pass that debt ceiling by yourself because you don't want our help on anything else. So why do you need our help on this? You've got the votes to do it by yourself. Go do it by yourself. And the Democrats have been saying to Mitch McConnell, nah, you're lying. You'll eventually raise the debt ceiling. We don't have to do it via reconciliation. And now we are, you know, whatever, 19 or 20 days away from it happening.
It's always raised. Like they never, that's never, as much as it's always like, oh, we're going to have to raise the debt ceiling. Mm-hmm. We always do.
I mean, it is like,
it's a foregone conclusion.
It's shooting the world in the foot, really, because it triggers international financial crisis and quite possibly a permanent loss of the United States being in the pole position of the fiduciary world. So, yes, I would imagine it gets raised. It's who raises it and how much the Republicans want to make the Democrats do it themselves. That is the question. Now, in terms of funding the government, that's been on the Democratic side, because the Democrats have said, all right, cool, here's a bill that both funds the government, which the Republicans have said we will be on board with, and raises the debt ceiling, and that's the only bill you get. And the Republicans have said, no, you do the one yourself, we will do the other one, so split that up. The rumors today is that a clean government funding bill is allegedly brewing in the House, but a lot of things are happening very, very quickly. I don't think it's a total shocker if for a small amount of time there is a government shutdown from Thursday at midnight to Friday at 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. But I would not expect it to be a lengthy thing, mostly because both sides of the aisle have agreed that they will do it. It's just a matter in which that they do it. That is the question.
Here's some fun trivia for you real quick here. Of all the modern presidents, how many times did they raise the debt ceiling? In the two terms of President Reagan, 17 times.
Oh, wow.
Bush Senior, only 4 times. Let's see. Under Clinton, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. So they matched 4 and 4. Bush did it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Obama, 7 also, looks like, 7 or 8. And then Trump twice during his 4 years. I guess that's why I had that feeling of like, I feel like we're talking about this every 5 minutes. There's always a debt ceiling raising, and everyone acts like it's the end of the world, or the sign that whatever party isn't sort of in charge.
Did it right,
at the time.
Did their thing right, or did their thing wrong?
Right,
or,
but they all do it. And they all do it.
Right. Everybody raises the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Like, so why is it so partisan?
The reason why is because to not do it is the end of the world. Like, it is a very bad thing if the United States signals that we will have a political fight that will stop us from paying our bills. That's very, very, very bad. So everybody does do it, but much in the same reason why infrastructure never gets passed, except for where we are right now, the reason why is because it's a slam dunk. And anything that's a slam dunk in Congress means you can staple other things on it or use it as leverage for other elements of your agenda. So that's really what we're seeing right now. Not necessarily a disagreement that raising the debt ceiling is in theory a good or bad thing, but in the process of governing and in the process of brinksmanship when it comes to all this, it is the sure things that swing with the heaviest weight.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Actually, I literally, first time I've ever known more about the debt ceiling than was today. Today was that day. So thanks for doing that. All these years into my life, it took me this long to understand the very basics of what the debt ceiling is and why it's a problem if we don't raise it.
And by the way, the report today was that Biden was now floating the idea of possibly pushing through a debt ceiling raise through reconciliation, which is what the Republicans want. Largely because it may or may not complicate the Democrats' ability to use reconciliation to do the BBB bill.
Gotcha. The triple B.
Which the Republicans hate. It's everything that is complained about on Fox News.
Yeah. The BBB has something in there for everyone.
It's massive. It's huge. You know, on tomorrow's politics, we have Bill Scherer, who writes for Real Clear Politics in the Washington Monthly, who deserves a big home run trot because he called this Pelosi move months ago on our show. But he makes the argument that this is the biggest bill in American history that is there to expand the social safety net, because Great Society and the New Deal were all piecemeal.
Yeah.
This is one big chunkus.
Yeah. And chunkus is hard to manage us sometimes. all right. Well, this is fascinating. Boy, am I wary of, do yourselves a favor out there. If anybody saw that Turning Point documentary on Netflix, it was basically the day of 9/11 was the first episode, but the rest of that series is like sort of aftermath or stuff we've done all the way right up until troops are withdrawn like 2-3 weeks ago. It's really good documentary. First of all, I highly recommend it, and did on the show already, but one really interesting episode went into this audit team that was hired end of Bush during most of Obama and a little bit of Trump. Their job was to basically audit the spending in Afghanistan. Every program, every third party, every contractor, everything had to be accounted for. And they came away with some gnarly stories of waste. It blew my mind, some of these. But the biggest one was the overall averages was like 30% or 32% of all spending, which is near $1 trillion or whatever, on Afghanistan alone. 32% of it you could count as either waste, fraud, someone stole something, whatever. 32% of that money. It's an insane number.
I'm shocked. Shocked.
I know. I shouldn't be shocked by this, but now it's got me in that brain where I'm like, ah, shit, that's a lot of money and a lot of people, and no one's good at this at the macro, and we're going to just misspend a ton of that, and that's bad, and we should be careful, and I don't know. That's where my head's
at. It's a righteous cause, right?
Yeah.
It was a righteous cause that, you know, people sang songs about and were very passionate about, and if you brought up any opposition to it, then you were shouted down, so, you know.
You're a Dixie chick. Whether you didn't know, yeah, it, but
exactly.
You were.
Or a chick.
Just a chick. Now they're the chicks.
They lost their Dixies.
Some of their songs still, there's still some bangers in their catalog. I'm just telling you. So politics aside, Well, some of those songs are still pretty snappy. It's pretty good stuff. All right.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I liked him. I liked him good enough. Yeah. I bought tickets to go see Ludacris.
Oh, yesterday. Ludacris. Oh, are you now you're going just you're just awesome. Going you're going just because of the connection to the Fast and Furious, right? You don't care about his rap or his music.
Luda's the goat, baby. Luda's awesome. I love Ludacris. I am unironically very, very excited to see Ludacris. I actually saw him open up for Outkast. The first time that I saw Outkast touring behind Stankonia, he, I believe, was touring behind his first album, but it was a great concert, and that man's got hits. Yeah. He's got hits on hits. I think this is going to be very excited. I got a VIP area because I'm old and I don't want to be general admission anymore. Like, this was a very thrilling moment for me.
That's great. No, he's still kicking it at 44 and still touring. And this is happening in Austin, I guess, is where you're going.
Grand Cafe, which is actually like literally across the street from both Brian and the studio.
Perfect.
I could go and pregame at the studio and then retire to the studio afterward. Just fall asleep in one of the rooms. It'd be great.
That's great. That's Act totally
is
great.
Gonna be out of town. I'm going to be irresponsible.
This is great. Well, you'll have to report back. When is this? Is it before we see you again, or is it ways off?
Oh, it's a ways off.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone has something to look forward to now.
16th.
The pleasure is ours, as always, having you here, hanging out, learning stuff, talking things. Do you have anything else going on you'd like to find folks at home to check out?
If you want to know more about what we talked about, the Congressional Apocalypse Week, there's going to be a lot of news coming at you. A lot of it is we're in this very confusing world in politics where a very arcane system is going to get a lot of attention. You're going to have a lot of messages kind of flying at you. If you want a shorthand, if you want to know what the hell is happening this week, because a lot is changing very fast, then get on the Politics, Politics, Politics podcast train. This episode is going to give you a very good primer of what is going on and what may indeed happen throughout the next few days.
Very, very nice. Go check it out. Justin R. Young on Twitter. We'll see you soon. Bye.
See ya.
Oh, I forgot
the thing. The jury will now retire.
Well, it still counts if I got it in.
Still counts. As long as it's during the show, he doesn't need to hear it.
Everything counts.
He knows he's
amounts.
Retiring.
Exactly. He knows. He knows what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's now move over to this. Why is that up? Oh, my gosh. I have a tab up that I don't need. Okay. There we go.
Brazzers.
Because Brian mentioned it. I had to, you know, log in for my daily login.
What's this Brazzers thing you brought up with the hitchhiker story, Brian?
Why would hitchhikers have anything connected to a internet information website?
Why does this site come up when I look for good gifts for my stepmother?
Weird. No, what I really wanted to do is play this mashup. It's called Everybody Loves Morrissey, so we know what that's going to be. Expect a little Brian singing here in the tone of Morrissey. But anyway, this is from Jamie. Big thanks to TMS Mashups Jamie for all his awesome work. He's pumping out all the time. And we'll play it now, so enjoy.
Bobby Frankenberger, Stein and Hyman. I whatever.
You added a Simon and it's perfect. It's great.
You know what they say?
I've got a big penis.
Janky Grammar, I have a big bottle of Jameson upstairs. What's this little bottle business?
Is that his way of saying, I got a little something, but really he's got a big something? Maybe that's what he means. Maybe he's, you know what I mean? No, I don't mean like wiener, but I mean like, you know, when you... the Hyoopster Horticola. Refreshing on a hot summer day. A Horticola. The dog butt is COVID. I'm going to start over. Yeah, stick that in there. Slide it in the sleeve. Not to be confused with what, Alpha Male or Alpha Dog or...
Project Alpha.
Yeah, there's a lot of Alpha.
Alpha Flight.
Alpha Falfa. Wait.
Alfalfa.
Alfalfa is what I meant. Alpha Falfa.
Alpha Falfa. Oh, I loved Little Rascals and that character, Alpha Falfa. Not to mention Spank Anky. He's great too. And Buckwheat was great too.
Buckwheat. Yeah.
Buckwheat. Oh, man. Oh, I love. They all had a crush on Darlarla.
Yeah. Darlarla. Man, you know a lot about the Little Rascals. Who left the seat up? She'd be like,
Brian. Tina would as well. Yeah.
So Brian would
it scared the crap out of me, but I was ready to support whatever you wanted
to do. It was fine.
Did she listen to this?
Yeah, it's an old joke.
It's exactly what she sounds like. 100%.
Yeah,
she sounds
exactly like not even an exaggeration.
Oh, honestly.
Honestly.
Who does that? Oh.
Honestly.
Lots of dicks.
All sorts of dicks. Therapy is easier when they're all... All along for the ride was a bacterium that's there as well. Wolbachia pippinitis, pippintis.
Pippientis?
Pippientis increases susceptibility of the parasitic wasp to be taken over by the tiny parasitic wasp, M. stigmaticus.
This concludes Scott's reading of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow.
Honey. Everybody loves me.
My brother's a jerk.
That's the one that I just can't do is Ray Romano.
What are you doing, Ray?
Sounds like Kermit the Frog or something. Morrissey. It's a Morrissey. Everybody loves Morrissey.
I would watch that sitcom right now.
Oh, that's the reference.
That's what it was. Yeah.
I thought for sure that meant we were going to get like a load of you singing Morrissey, but
no. It was our Ray Romano.
Yeah. Shows what we know. Jamie could completely troll us if he wanted to. He could send a mashup that is nothing but horrible ethnic, slurs or whatever he wanted.
Right.
Because
right.
I don't.
Yeah, he could edit words, take words out of context that we say and make us say horrible things.
100%.
He has the power,
and I wouldn't know until I played it live because I don't preview the content. So. Now I'm starting to wonder if I should, but no, I won't be paranoid. I trust Jamie. It's all good.
It would sound like this, though, if he did. You would go, up, 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 up.
Yeah, we've been working together long enough for that to be the case. That is correct.
Yeah.
That is totally correct. All right. Man, the show's 10 years old. Can you believe that? That's weird.
10 years old.
Actually, 10 plus years. Like, we're almost...
10 plus.
Let's see.
Almost to our 11th. Yeah, January.
January, right? Yeah.
We're closer to our 11th than we are to our 10th.
Start a lot of shows in January for some reason. That's the thing with me. The instant started in January.
Christmas break, you're like, oh, I could totally do a show on NCIS. I'm totally going to start that.
Oh my gosh. Finally, we can get an NCIS weekly roundup.
Finally, the NCIS podcast.
Yeah, all this time and what a waste. All right. Hey, speaking of wasting your time, we're done doing that today. And we hope you really enjoyed us wasting your time. I think it was a good waste of your time. And patreon.com/TMS agrees with you. So head on over there and support us if you haven't already. Those who have, we don't thank you enough. Huge thanks. It's literally the lifeblood of the show and beyond. So thank you so much for being such a huge part of what makes things run around here. And if you're looking for anything else, like old episodes or ways to contact us, all the links to everything, our Discord, whatever, you can find all that at frogpants.com/TMS. Okay, I guess we've come to the part of the show where Brian plays a song to get us out.
Exactly what I'm going to do. This one's going out to Kyle. You might know him best as the husband of Stephanie and her as a pets, because it's Stephanie backwards.
Yeah.
These two got to meet a couple of years ago back in Chicago when we were up there for Geek Bowl, and they are the most wonderful people you could hope to meet. Kyle says, "It's my best friend Stephanie's birthday. Oh, and she's also my amazing wife. I can't forget to add that. Stephanie, you will always be my mermaid, and you will always be the best.
Happy birthday to you."
I had to sneak there it you in. Go. Yep.
Well done. Her birthday is on the 28th and we'll be on vacation in Florida. It'll be such a blast and I can't wait to be in my natural habitat again. Brian, since you're about to be rewarded with churches, I want Scott to embarrass you a little bit. So Scott, could we get a bunch of funny Brian clips?
Oh yeah. This is not a problem to even ask. Hold on here. Let me get to where I can get them here. So let's do, I always put Ibit because it's a very unique identifier.
Yeah. Yep.
There's only one
Ibit.
Here's one here.
We pulled one off.
Okay. There's one. How about this one?
We lost the remote.
No, this.
I would like to.
Oh, you know what? I realized some of these have your name in it, but they're Film Sack prom night.
Oh, like prom night things.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I can find another one, though. Here we go.
Fucked it. I'm out.
Okay. There's one.
Wow. Oops.
Should have warned you guys. I guess that's that one. How about this one? Okay.
We're doing Falcon.
That's a great one. Does the Falcon burp? Here's some old ones.
Let's do an old, let's go back to 2013 here. Here's a weird laugh. All right, there's that. Here's you going, All right, there's that. And then finally.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, see, see?
Perfect. Oh, yeah. Then.
Oh, wait, you did bum.
Bum, 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 dum, 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 dum.
It's like a different microphone back then. All right.
Totally,
anyway.
Yeah. I don't know what I was using. It wasn't the Heil, no. PR30, whatever this thing is.
No.
That I love so much.
Yes.
Kyle wants to dedicate one of their favorite band's songs to Stephanie. This is brand new. Brand a spanking anew. Mm. We all love Churches. Church is fantastic. Great honey smooth vocals layered over some awesome electronic music.
Great chicken, a whole bucket of chicken from them. Just, oh wait, you're talking about the band Churches.
The band Churches, the one that spells with a V.
Churches. Yeah, yeah. Very different than the chicken place.
That's right, which spells it with a silent E.
Yeah.
They recently covered Gerard McMahon's "Cry Little Sister." You know this song is that song in The Lost Boys. I picked up the whole Gerald McMahon album because of this song, and was like, the rest of this is kind of lame, but this song's good. Yeah. But Churches cover it, and they rock it. It's so good. Here is Churches with their cover of "Cry Little Sister."
Nice. One final Brian sound.
Peenum.
Peenum. All right, here we go.
Peenum.
That's it. Thanks for being here, you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.